opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. If you could pray with me one more time. Father, we thank you for showing up at Rehoboth. Lord, I pray that you inspire me to say the words that you want said today, that will uplift, that will encourage, that will bless. We thank you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to someone, shake their hand, and say, I'm glad you're here. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. I changed the title of this about three times, and I'm back to my original title. And I wanted to call this the most important book. The most important book. The Bible is comprised of about 66 books by 40 different writers spanning over 1,500, 2,000 years. But even though the Bible is very important, that's not what I'm referring to when I say the most important book. In this passage that I read, which was from the last book of the Bible, which was the book of Revelation, Jesus appeared to John and told him to write down in a book some things that he was going to show him. And the first part of the book starts off with some messages, some short messages to seven churches. Those seven churches were all based in what was called then Asia Minor, but today is actually the country of Turkey. And they were addressed to seven different churches. Of course, in that day, there was a lot more than seven churches, so we must understand that there must have been a reason why these seven specific churches were chosen. And they were the church of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, if you were in Sunday school, I said something interesting about the Hebrew number seven, that unlike the other numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, the word for seven in Hebrew also means an actual concept or word. It means to swear an oath or a covenant. So we see that God, in choosing seven of the churches that were then, he was trying to portray that he was in covenant, or that there was a significance to choosing these seven churches. And each of the letters or the messages to the church, they form a certain structure. They all repeat a certain structure. He starts out addressing each message to the angel or the messenger of the church. And then it starts out with the same phrase. The next phrase says, I know thy works. He says each message to each church, I know thy works. God knows our works. He knows what we've been up to. He knows what we've been through in life. Sometimes it may not seem that, because you may not have a deep relationship with him. But the Bible says here that to each of these churches, he said, I know thy works. He knew where they were located. He knew what they had been through. He knew what their current situation was. He knew their needs. And then each of the messages is structured with a mostly positive for five of the churches of the seven. Mostly positive. He said something positive about five of the seven churches and gave them a commendation. And then there was the last part of it was a goal or something that they should achieve. It says, to him that overcometh. So each of the churches also had some more things that they had to do. There was some more things that they had to achieve. There was some struggle that they had to go through. And this is really a lot like the lives that we lead. We don't go through life, or at least most of us don't go through life with no troubles. There's always some thing that we have to go through. Sometimes we are on the mountaintop, sometimes we're in the valley. But when you're in the valley, you know there's a mountaintop coming. And when you're on the mountain, you know that there's a valley coming. So a lot of us get discouraged when we have to go through life's trials and tribulations. But he gave a promise. He said, to him that overcometh. That means it is possible. Not only is it possible, you can do it. You can overcome. And so each of these messages were structured in the same way. He said, to him that overcometh. But I want to focus in on one of the specific churches. Of the seven churches, two of them did not get really much of a commendation. And the church that I want to focus on is the church that was called Sardis. And in that message to the church of Sardis, there was some specific things that were said. You see, in the first scripture I read, it spoke about writing a book. And what I want to tell each and every one of us that we, right now, are writing a book. That book is our life. You may not have realized it, but every day you get up, you're writing another page in your book. I haven't had to do too many funerals, but I remember the first one that I had to do, I did not know the person, did not know the family, but I was asked to do the ceremony for the funeral. So there was not a lot I could say personally about the person who was laid out in front of me, but what I did say was that their book is finished, but our book is still open. Tomorrow you get to write another page in your book. One day, your book is going to be closed. And the next time it's opened, it's going to be before the throne of God. Because the Bible speaks about the books being opened. And I said that the 66 books that are in the Bible are not the most important book. The most important book is the book that you are writing. It's your life's work is what is going to be the most important book. Now, when we look at the church in Sardis, there was something interesting that Jesus said. This was the fifth church in the list. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, Revelation chapter 3 verse 1, it said, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. He really didn't have anything too good to say about this church other than they had a reputation. Everybody could see from the outside that they looked like everything was going okay. You see, it's not about coming to church that means you're alive. They had a church, people were coming to it, but it was only the outside appearance. It was not the actual reality. Because Jesus said, you have a name that you're a Christian. Yes, you get up every Sunday and you go to church. You go through the motions. But really, I know your works. I know what book you have been writing. I know how you have lived your life. And you are actually dead. That was such a deep and profound thing that Jesus said to this church, because he told them that although they went through all of the functioning of a church, they were really not alive. They just had the appearance of life. You know, it's not about, a Christian is not about coming to church. It's not about saying you believe in God, but you have to actually implement that in your life. He said, you only look like you're alive, but you're truly dead. But you know, the one thing about each of these churches, he always ended with a hope. He always ended with a way out of their situation. I know thy works. He had read their book. God has read your book. I don't know your book, but he knows your book. Each of us so far have written many pages in that book. And it's really the book that is our life. It's the book that we started when we were born. It's the book when we go through every day and how we relate to other people, how we treat other people, how we relate to our Maker. That's the book that we are writing. It says, in verse 1, I know thy works. These things saith he that the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. This church only had a reputation. They had a building that looked like a church. People came all dressed up like they were going to church. They pretended that they were church, but it was just the name. See, we may hide that book away that no one else can read the pages we don't want. But Jesus has read our book. He knows where we are. He knows the situation we're in. There are many pages in my book I don't want anyone to read. I'm not proud of them. They weren't good pages. But there is a way out of the situation. You know, because he never left each church without a blessing, without a way for them to get out of their situation. You see, Matthew 7:22 explains a little bit about how the church of Sardis was, because there are many people today. This is Sunday. America's churches are full. It says, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works? Haven't I lived my life perfectly? Haven't I been good to little dogs and animals? That wasn't it. And then I will profess to them, that's Jesus, I never knew you. He didn't like your book. It wasn't about what you thought was good. It was a dead church. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, our book, our writing, our book is never going to be good enough because we are humans. We're going to get mad sometimes. We're going to say things that we don't mean later on that we're going to regret. We may strike out at the person we love, say hurtful things. We may cheat on our taxes. I don't hear an amen on that one. Amen. See, my book isn't that good. There's many pages I wouldn't want any of you to read. I'd like to tear that part out. But God has read my book. Our book of works is never going to be good enough. You see, if you don't do something about it, you're going to have to stand and your book is going to be opened and it's going to be read. You see, most of the chapters in my book would be failure and missing the mark. That's what the word sin means, to miss the mark. Chapters of weakness, deceit, envy, lust. Not a good book. Not a good book. But you know, there is another book. It says the books were opened and another book. That was the other title I was going to call it, another book. See, I don't have to go with my book. There is another book. There is another book. And this book is called the Book of Life. Amen? The Book of Life. I wouldn't want my book to be presented. I wouldn't want my book to be in any library because it's got some not so good chapters. But you know, in most stories, there is the last chapter. And the last chapter is the most important part of the book. Because you know what? That tells you how the story ends. Amen. There is another book. And this book is not written by me. It's written by him. Let's look at this. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, he had sent his disciples out. And he had told them to go and do some healing and to cast out demons. He'd given them authority and power to do some miracles. And they'd gone out, and guess what? All these things had happened. They'd been able to heal people, and they'd been able to make the sick better. They'd been able to cast out demons, and they were so happy. This is great. We are writing a good book. Look at the power that I have. Look what I can do. But when they came back, Jesus said to them this, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. It's not about your book, even when you have some good chapters. Maybe you did help the blind lady cross the street today. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Why? Because your name is in my book. I told you, this is about another book. The most important book is not our book. Our book is not going to be a good book if it ends with me writing it. My chapter won't have a happy ending, but thanks be to what God has done. It said there was another book opened. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 says, and being made perfect, he became the author. You see, Jesus is also writing a book. And that book is a book of life. That's the book that if your name is in it, amen, when the book that you have written is opened, there's another book that can be opened. And this book, if it has your name in it, then you can rejoice. He told his disciples, okay, you did some good things today. You were able to heal some people. You were able to pray for some people. You were able to encourage some people. You be happy about that, but I tell you what you really want to rejoice about is that your name is found in this other book. How do you get your name in the other book? How do you keep your name, actually, I should say, in the other book? Hebrews 5:9 says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. God has got a book too that he is writing. And if you have followed his commands, your name can be written in that book. It says, he is the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. See, the church of Sardis was just going through the motions. They looked like a church. They had a nice church building. They had a beautiful edifice. They had the beautiful new carpet. We don't have that yet, but we're getting that. They had all of the beautiful people. They had all of the mayors and the dignitaries. They had a name, but it wasn't the name that mattered. They had the appearance, but it wasn't the appearance that mattered. They had the pretense, but it wasn't what God wanted. But you know, God is so merciful because he did not leave it that way. He ended them with one other thing. He said, listen, I want to tell you about another book. He told the church of Sardis, although you are dead, here, if you will overcome, there's going to be another book for some of you. There's going to be another book for some of you, and that is the book of life. Yes, you look dead, but even to the dead church of Sardis, he said, you can have your name written in the book of life. I'm telling you today that we don't have to go by our book. I don't want you to read my book. It's got some not so nice things. It's got a few good things, but on the whole, it wouldn't be so good. In the book of Micah, it says that there was a book of remembrance being written down. You know, sometimes we go to church and we wonder, God, do you actually see? Do you actually know what I'm going through? Yes, he does. He says, every single church, whether they were good or bad, he always says, I know your works. God knows exactly where you have been. He knows the book that you have been writing. He knows the bad chapters. He knows the one or two good pages. But all of that doesn't count. He said, don't rejoice about your book. Rather, rejoice that your name is written in my book. Hallelujah. You see, the books are going to be opened. All of us. The Bible says that he saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Their books started to be read. And if you haven't got a perfect book, there's only one grade. But I like it didn't end that way. It said, and there was another book, which is the book of life. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Let him write your last chapter. Then you can go to the back of the book and it says, and they all lived happily ever after. That's what my book is going to be like if I let him write it. It's going to end up, and they all lived happily ever after. Because that's the book ending that I want. I hate sad books. Anyone like sad books? Oh no. I want my book to end, and he lived happily ever after. That I am passed from death unto life. That I will be able to hear my name called because my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. See, Sardis was one of the seven churches that God couldn't say much about. But in each case, though, even with Sardis, which was dead, he said, listen, there is a book of life. If some of you will come and have your names put in the book of life, yet you can live. God is so merciful. He always provides a way out. See, five of the seven churches, they had some good things. They had some bad things. He knew their books. Sardis, their book was so terrible. All he said, you were dead. You just look like you are a church. You just look like you're a Christian. You just claim to love me. But you're not got any works that I can use. Your book is just fit to be thrown away. But there is another book. There is another book. I'm so grateful that God wrote another book. I don't have to go on my book. I don't have to go on my life. I don't have to go on my righteousness. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. See, we get discouraged sometimes about how our book is going. You don't know, you may have written. Anyone ever try to write a story? Amen. And you're writing the story, but yet you seem to written yourself into a corner. You don't know how to get out of it. I've tried to do that. I've written many stories I've never finished because I don't like how the story was going, and I don't know how to write a proper ending. Maybe that's just me. But I tell you this, no matter where you are, no matter what your situation is, I've said this before, it's like the GPS. You can't hurt its feelings. When you start disobeying it, all it will say is recalculating. All you have to do is start to obey what the GPS, the God positioning system, is telling you, because he will lead you in paths of righteousness. He has a book written. It says in Jeremiah, I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, plans to prosper you. See, if we will let God write our name in his book, we'll have a good ending. Hallelujah. Our book is just a book of works. Our book is not going to help us. Our book is not going to be any good. Nobody's going to want to read it because you know what? Most of the time it has a sad ending. When we read in Genesis chapter 5, it gives the genealogy all the way from Adam. And it says something like this: and Adam lived 930 years and had sons and daughters, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and had sons and daughters and lived another 800 years, but it always ends the same way: and he died. See, they were writing their book. And it goes down all these genealogies, and everyone ends the same way: and he died. That's what happens if you write your own book. But in Jesus Christ, it says that he is the light, the life of men. And our book will end, and she lives. Hallelujah. When you change the book for the book of life, it's got a different ending. Hallelujah. You can stand with me. I told you I wasn't going to be long. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. The book of life is written by Jesus. And it's only through having your name in his book that you can have a good ending. Genesis chapter 5, they lived a long time, hundreds of years according to the Bible, but it's still ends the same way. In Romans it says, and death passed upon all men. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all will be made alive. So, which book is the most important book? Someone said it. It's not even my book of works. It's the book of life. I'm so glad that in Revelation, when it started out, it says that all will stand. I'm just going to read that as the last scripture, Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Bible says every one of us is going to have to give an account of what we've written. We can either present our book or his book. What are you going to do? And the books were opened. That's a lot of books. Again, I am so glad it didn't end there, because my book would end and he died. But it doesn't end there. It says, and another book. Today I want you to think about the other book. As Jesus told his disciples, yes, today, guys, you did good. You went, you healed people. You wrote a good chapter. But rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. We can't be good enough. We can't be good enough to write our own story. Because no matter how good we write it, as I was teaching about the law, even the good people always ends with, and they died. Remember, Sardis, a dead church. But even in that scripture, God told them, listen, I want you to get hold of this book called the Book of Life. That book of life is related all the way back to the garden. Remember, there was another tree. And that tree was called what? Tree of life. To him that overcometh, here's another one. To him will I give to eat of the tree of life. We're closing this service. When you look at a little baby, that's what you see is life. When you look at me or someone older, you don't see life. You see what will, in the end, be written for all of us. And he died. But you know what? I've gone to God's library and I'm changing my book. Amen. I'm changing my book. I'm handing in my book, which doesn't have the good chapters, and I'm getting my name written in the book of life. Hallelujah. How do you get your name written in the book of life? Well, Jesus. That's the simple answer. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You have to accept Jesus. And you have to accept him according to what he said was the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You can't get him through Buddha. Sorry. No, people don't like that. You can't get him through Confucius. Muhammad. Sorry. You know what? They wrote their own books. But guess what happened to them? They have tombs. And in their tombs, there are bodies. But you go to Gethsemane, and there is a tomb. But there is no body. Because he wrote the book of life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I am going to close this service. If you would like prayer, if you would have not gotten your name written in the book of life, I invite you to come down here. The altar's nowhere special, but we're going to pray. We're going to close this service. And make sure you've changed your book, because one day the books are going to be opened. The books are going to be opened. And if your name isn't in the other book, that won't be too good. See, if your name is in the other book, he's writing your chapters. And it's going to end, and they lived happily ever after. Not like Genesis 5, where no matter how long they lived, hundreds of years, it always ended the same way, and they died. When Mary came to the tomb, she said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's not here. He's gone. Go tell his disciples, like he told you, that he was risen. He said, no man taketh my life. I lay it down, and I have the power. I have the power. I have the power. I have the power to raise it back up again. And if we believe that Jesus, this same Jesus, the disciples watched him ascend, shall so come again in like manner, I'm looking for that day. I'm listening for my name to be called. That's what I'm listening for. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service. We're going to pray. If you would like prayer, I invite you down to the front of this church right now. We are not going to be the church of Sardis, that's for sure. We are going to make sure that our name is in the other book.